no, your mic's not.
Sounds like it's on.
Is it?
I hear it.
Really?
Really. Welcome to the 500th episode of The After Disaster. 12:25. In the morning. We're up. It's early. Tyler's not here. Sorry for the long delay. Ah, sad, looking at the walls. The walls in the studio are empty. It's a sad night. Last night in the old studio. The last night, the magic of the after disaster is brought to you from this building. Unless we break in. Somehow rebuild this studio in a warehouse somewhere. Different show.
That's all possible. It's all a possibility.
We have such a bond with it.
I do love this studio. I'm going to miss it.
It's the only studio I've known.
Well, that's not going to be the case pretty soon.
Nope. Got Studio Outback.
George, what? Oh, yeah.
We're recording the Outback.
In the back of your car. There's a good chance that this is the very last time. Now, we are... One of the main reasons why we're moving out of here is because the pre-show, Loveline, is moving up the street to enemy ground.
You think it's enemy ground?
Yeah, it's enemy ground.
How come?
There's
past,
more
past relationships, problems.
Of the people that know of me over there, there's more that dislike than like. That's for sure. I burned a few bridges.
Going back.
And, you
going
know,
going around
a lot of
those bridges.
But, yeah, favors are not coming my way over there. And, in fact, unlike this place, not only do they know about the show, but they know that they're not going to be a part of the show or allowing the show to participate or partake over there.
So the next couple of episodes will be bad-mouthing K-Rock.
No, I didn't say K-Rock. It's this place up the street. Jack.
Jack FM. Mm.
But in the interim, we'll be kind of wandering about. And now what I was getting at, see, like, no one even knows we do the show over here. It's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Low pro.
Under the radar.
I actually heard this tonight. Well, you can't be doing the show over there because Rodney Bingenheim or Roddy on the Rock might see you and he might ask, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Whatever. Lord knows. We don't want a weird old creep asking what's going on.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. But the idea of us not doing the show in here next week or the week after that is all contingent upon construction. We all know how that goes. This is a construction that was supposed to start 2 weeks ago.
Do you mean you might still be here next week?
There's a slim chance that we might be
That's
in this
hilarious.
Studio next week.
What are you guys, the improv? The improv takes a year to build something.
Hey, is that you, Ty Ty, on the phones there? Ty Ty. Hello? Hey, Ty?
Thank God you made it.
I don't think that's Tyler.
You're Tyler.
Who is this?
That doesn't explain who you
well,
are.
There's numerous live shows. We have a number of live shows. What? Or rock. Oh, okay, yeah. You were in the back with us, too, when I talked about baby birding. Yeah. Well, you were back there with us, no? That's good. Well, what can
Who
I help
is
you
this?
With, sir? What can I help you with? Ah, cool. Well, you know what? This is for sure, unless construction, this is most likely the last time we'll be taking calls, at least for a long while.
Mm-hmm.
So,
unless you want to call in ourselves and we'll speakerphone it in.
Adjust the phone levels in there. So hold on. Well, maybe we're going to take some calls. We're going to memory lane. We're going to talk about the best times, the worst times in the studio.
The worst times.
Hey, is that you, Ty Ty? Hello. That's why we don't do calls. So the good news is we won't be doing calls.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me go turn
You know what's cool is that guy kept with the tradition of calling in and having nothing to say.
He's still on there. You can hear it.
Oh. Can I put him on hold? Are you still there, listener? Who refuses to give your name? And long pause. And we don't know.
What'd you say? What'd I miss?
I was embarrassed that I had...
Calls are showing up now. So one of the reasons why we want to do the show this week, too, is I was really hoping to get that guard in here so we could get to the bottom of what he did.
How are we
going
to get to the bottom? Are you going
to
confront him?
Reggie, I wanted to confront him. I wanted to do it on air.
Explain to me how you would do that.
I would have been friendly.
Like, what
should
were
I
you
try and
say?
Get him in here?
What were you going to say?
Should I get them both in here?
That would be good.
Okay, I'm going to get them both in here. Because the reason why I said, fuck, we can't, because I was hoping to do it real quick, like right after, like right at 12
o'clock. Yeah, so he's got to go back to work
Reggie
and guard the empty parking lot.
And if Reggie comes
Reggie's
in here,
here
and he sees that the guard is in here,
yeah,
I'm
jealousy.
Getting them both in here.
Jealousy.
I'm going to get them both in here. All right, give me a minute.
Tell him it's the last show.
Yeah. Until they see us next week. Pre-construction. Hey, welcome to After Disaster, everybody. I am Anderson. There is Mike Carano sitting to my left, and there is no tie-tie.
We're waiting on him to call in, though.
He's a puss.
What if he's asleep?
He's like, I have some work tomorrow. Can't be doing it. Mm. We wanted to squeeze one last show in so that we have something to post next week, because it's a good chance construction might be on time. It's also a good chance it won't be. Hey, tie-tie, is that you? Hello? Hey, how are you? Welcome to the After Disaster. Welcome to the After Disaster. Just hang up. Oh, that was the perfect. I was hoping he would.
He just gave up. He ran
was
away.
He's a huge listener, and he got really scared when he realized.
You think
he
so?
Actually, no.
He's trembling. You could hear it in his voice. Let's play roll right now. Yeah, like the
role
security
play?
Guy's sitting here.
Well, first of all, here's what we have to do. We have to come up with a fake name of the show.
Because we don't want them looking it up.
Absolutely.
This
so
is
they're gonna the first thing they're gonna ask is what is this?
It's called What the Fuck with Mark Maron.
Even though you know what's funny is all the years we've been doing this in here and we've had Reggie on countless times.
Never asked.
He's never asked what
never
the show
asked.
Is. Yeah. He probably thinks it's
doesn't
called
give
the,
a shit.
The Anderson and Mike Project.
He's the least narcissistic human being on the planet, or else he's looked it up and listened to every episode and he's fuming inside and he's planning his revenge.
Well, he might have it tonight.
We die at the hands, the tiny hands. Of Reggie. Can you imagine that? He comes in here with like a bazooka and starts. Or what's the thing that
wait,
shoots fire?
Hey, buddy. Hey, yeah, come on in here. Oh, God, I gotta turn him up.
Buddy.
Yeah. Anthony, would you like to take a seat there?
Have a seat.
A second only.
This might be our last night in this studio.
Oh, yeah?
Mm hmm. Then we're gonna be recording it in a park. While we're doing dual, yeah, Anderson wants to go to a park every night and record it.
In Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles. We're going to do the podcast, and we're going to protect the citizens.
Let's see, here we go.
From the ruthless killers, child predators.
Okay, Anthony.
Whoever else looms in the parks.
Welcome to Tootsie Pop. It's the name of our program here. We do a weekly program. Only like 5-6 people, mostly our family listen, but your microphone's right there if you'd like to join us for 1 second here. It's our last show in here, so we want to get you on the mic.
Okay.
Don't worry, it's not live or anything.
You don't seem super enthusiastic.
You seem less enthusiastic.
I've been trying to avoid this.
How come?
Because.
I don't think so, Anthony. I see you mosey by quite often. Peek on in. So you got to talk into that microphone.
I am a security guard. I'm supposed to mose by and peek and do all those things.
You're making sure that
to make sure we're safe.
What would you have done if you just peeked by just now when you were walking by before I invited you in? What if there was a man standing behind me with a machete? What would you have done?
Well, first thing what he did was
ran,
made a phone call.
Oh, a phone call! Machete's coming down towards my head. I should mention that.
Well, I don't have a weapon, so we all would have been cut up.
Uh-huh.
If I would have came in here,
your fists.
My fist would have been chopped off too.
You know, so that machete scenario he just set up. Could have been a true thing a few years ago.
Yeah, we had machetes in here one night. We were wielding them wildly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got to talk real, into that microphone there.
That was real far out. That was like...
Well, you weren't here there, Anthony. Remember that time that I found you in the bathroom, Anthony? What was that all about? Remember I went in the bathroom, I was about to pee, and then I turned around, and there you were?
I was in there using the restroom also.
Nope. Okay, I got a question for you before we move much further down the road. And I know you got to get out of here, and I don't want Reggie to walk by and see
you. No, go ahead.
But Reggie stopped me 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said, why did you tell Anthony that I sit down on the couch during my entire shift?
What? He said that?
He said that. Should I get Reggie in here so we can get this all straightened out? Because I want to leave here with everything
being fresh.
Or
should we just not bring it up?
No, I feel like we should maybe get to the bottom of this.
It's okay because...
Into the mic. Into the mic.
Yeah. It's because Reggie misunderstood what I was saying.
What was it that you were saying?
I told Actually, I've written it down that there's several people had told me that Reds have been sleeping on that sofa in there.
Mm.
Practically the whole shift.
I've never seen him sleeping. Right. In fact, I'd be actually happy if he was sleeping, honestly, because that means that I don't have to talk to him.
I understand that.
Do you?
But I'm just saying, I have witnesses.
Am I one of the witnesses?
No.
I am not.
You are the witness that said that you didn't want that sofa dirty.
And what?
You know what
I'm the witness that said I don't want the sofa dirty?
I was standing right there.
Which sofa are you talking about?
The white sofa where you're walking out by the door. Yeah. I said to you.
You do like a clean sofa.
I do like clean. Yeah. Who doesn't like a clean sofa? But I told you that Reggie's making the sofa dirty?
No. What you said, you was giving him a head up when he sat down on that sofa. And
what?
Remember.
To Reggie?
Yeah.
I was telling Reggie.
I was standing right there.
And I said, Reggie, careful, that sofa's dirty?
You didn't say his name, but you just
said the sofa's dirty.
Yeah.
I wasn't implying that Reggie made it dirty, though.
No, because it wasn't dirty. You was giving him a head up that you don't want him. My perceptive was that you was giving him a head up notice that, hey, don't get too comfortable.
I don't recall. Was I drunk? Did I smell of liquor?
That makes sense, though, that you would not want Reggie to lay on a dirty sofa.
No.
I know, but I don't think that sofa is dirty. It has been here since the 70s, though. Speaking of which.
Well, maybe he haven't been doing it all the time. That probably was the...
I think feel like we should get Reggie in here. What do you think?
It doesn't matter to me. He knows where I stand already.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he quick in writing people up with crazy stuff. So,
what's the craziest?
Is he going to get mad, though, if you're in here on your shift?
He can't do none.
No? He can't do anything to you? You're untouchable? Untouchable?
Reggie just write things, and I explain it to my supervisor. They're like, oh, okay, he ain't that serious.
Because it's Reggie.
No, because technically the company just all
don't,
about
care.
Loans. The man, the contract, you.
Yeah, me.
You
know,
you.
Yeah.
Now, if they get a phone call from you, that's when.
All right, who do I got to call?
Did you mean like the man?
Who do I have to call?
You're supposed to know already. My company.
It's not the right.
Does your company have like an office that's like the main office? And my real question is there a security guard in the parking lot there?
I know nothing. I know that I get very angry very quickly, very easily. I've been angry a number of times.
That's overcoming age.
Oh, it is.
Don't age. We all hope.
I think he's mellowed with age, probably.
Yeah, I've mellowed, Andrew.
Because
you're not fighting people and stuff anymore.
You have been doing that.
Should I get Reggie in here? I used to fight a lot, but I'm much better now.
I'm so happy for you.
Let's get Reggie. Let's get Reggie because it's our last show. We got to celebrate something.
Yeah, bring Reggie.
He's probably sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
Hope he's not making the 30.
I'm so glad he cut his hair. Because I was like, oh, we're going to have a lot of grease spots on that couch.
This is the last time I'm going to remind you guys that I will be at the Improv with Dr. Drew on January 31st at 10 p.m. And it might be fun. It might be a complete catastrophe. You won't know unless you're there. But I'm not trying to sell it to you because I finally came to the conclusion that people are aware of it. And if you want to go, you want to go. And if you don't want to go, you don't want to go. And I don't want to talk you into it. Then I'm going to feel a burden. Got it?
Yeah. A lot of people are going to be there.
You think?
Yeah, because I listen to the program every now and then. And I have heard a lot of things that have been helpful.
Like what? They've probably, realistically, that program has probably helped hundreds of thousands of people. It's been on the air for 30 years, and I've learned stuff more like 20 years ago, but of course.
Bad news, guys. Reggie, nowhere to be found. I saw him. He's here. He's not making the couch ready. He's not in the bathrooms. Where the fuck could he be?
He's not on the couch.
How is he not? He's always on the couch.
Not no more.
I mean, no, he's always on the couch until his shift begins, which isn't until 1, so that's 20 minutes. He comes here, gets here early, sits on the goddamn couch, which is fine because, you know, he's not on shift yet. I've never said anything about the couch, but I was hoping that he would, you know, come in here and he'd straighten things up, but he's maybe the
couch
else.
Is, well, the couch is ground zero for where trouble starts.
Maybe he slipped out in between the sofa.
Oh, no. Should we go check? He's down there with all the change?
No, he'll be all right.
We should check?
Yeah, all these years doing it, so.
All right, Anthony. All right, well, if you see him out there, will you let him know that there's a couple knuckleheads from the Tootsie Pop Show looking for him?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in.
But you guys still going to use security even?
Well, I'm hiring Reggie to follow me around. He's going to be like, you know, like Justin Bieber has his guys. I'm going to have my own guy.
All right, good luck.
Yeah, thanks,
with that.
Man. Thank you.
Bieber's got like six dudes.
Six.
That's a lot of security.
When I need a second dude, Anthony, I'll call you. But Reggie's my first.
Thank you for coming in here.
Beautiful. Thanks, man.
When we saw Bieber walking around Lake Hollywood, he had six dudes with him.
I know. You said that on the show. I feel bad now because he's not, you know, but at
no.
the time of crisis, it is terrible and it is upsetting. You know, we've had some
I feel kind of bad too because I don't think he understood that he was on the show.
No, he understood he was on the show. He didn't really, he was a little bit nervous to be on the show, but he doesn't come off quite. I'm telling you, man, when he was in the bathroom, he was not using the bathroom.
Yeah, I believe you.
Okay.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah, it was odd. He was facing in the corner by himself with the light on. No phone, nothing. But there we go. We got. We should have had Asef on. He's the best guard.
It got uncomfortable when you brought that up.
When I brought what up? Oh, yeah. You saw the fear in his eye, right? Because something was weird was going on.
Yeah, all of us felt uncomfortable.
It's not like his pants were unbuttoned or anything.
What if he would have just sprung on you? I was planning on blowing you, and I was getting a sense of if you were into it or not.
And you weren't, so I left uncomfortably.
We would have immediately reverted as far away from being homophobes as possible and went, oh, that's cool. I wish you would have just let me know. Next
is that
time,
what we would have done?
I don't know what we would have done.
Is
but
that we would have done?
You know, you try to...
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to seem like, oh, that's kind of weird and gross, dude, but...
Sorry, dude. I'm getting texts from Tyler when he's here. Hotline? Just call the goddamn number, you... Pab, fuck. All right.
God, I feel like we're starting off slow.
We are. We're really starting off slow because there's all these distractions.
Well, we're going to build. We're going to build.
Are we going to build to what? To a crescendo?
I wonder if the listeners right now are hoping or wishing we were in the studio longer so that we could have him on the air more.
No.
Like we did. Yeah, probably not. But I was just throwing that out there.
I have an idea that it'll be decent if he comes back here and Reggie and
with
he
Reggie.
Sit down. Yeah.
Decent meaning super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yes. If you knew for sure in your heart this is the last time we're going to be in this studio, why not just start a fucking brawl?
Yeah, I want to mix it up a little bit.
Reggie, he says that you can't really do anything. You just write him up and then your boss just throws it in the trash.
What I was going to do...
Take a picture of Reggie sleeping on the couch and forward it to the security company?
I was looking through their log a couple days ago, and yeah. that's something to behold. It's just the shining. It's just...
Are you mentioning it?
No, it's the same thing over and over again. They report nothing. Like, they're told to report nothing.
I wonder if somebody has to review that.
I don't think anyone, but it's like...
Like, down at HQ, is there some dude that goes through, okay, nothing happened again, 1 a.m., nothing happened, 1:30, nothing happened, 1:40,
the one incident I saw, and it was Reggie. Reggie opens up every line that he writes, Reginald Watts, colon, mm-hmm. And then he writes what he says, and the lights were on in the studio, and no one was in there, so he turned them off. That was the biggest incident that I found in that book.
You know, he's covering his bases, covering his ass. What if somebody came in here to do a show... And they had a cardiac arrest, fell down on the ground, died. Reggie turned the lights off. Cleaning crew came in, tripped on the guy. I'm building a scenario out of nothing, but what if that happened? Well, either way, he's covering his butt. Someone comes in and trips. Who turned the lights off? They can track it back to Reggie.
Oh, so it'd be like an anti thing. Like it'd be bad for him.
I thought you were going to say you read the log notes and there was like 40 times a night Reggie's like, called my mom.
I just got your text just now. And it's ironically, it was at 11:37. At 11:37, it said, my Corona wrote to me, I'm here, no security guard, no rush. you know where he was?
He told me he has a much bigger area to patrol now.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
No, that's code for... I got a new laptop today, and I'm very excited about it. That's another reason why I didn't want to have him on, because he said that he finally got a credit card that he could put that laptop on, which he's been waiting to do. And he's very excited about it. He's like, I just like skated by him. He's like, so what do you think? I'm like, about what? Because, like, you know, he's non sequitur guy. He's like, new laptop. And we actually had the first real conversation ever just tonight. And I'm like, if you only knew that I was setting you up and I wanted to have you on the show, now I got feelings.
I'll tell you what I think. It makes me uncomfortable that he now has access to this podcast.
But it's called the Tootsie Pop podcast. Yeah. He's not going to find it. He doesn't even know my name.
I would love that he looks up the Tootsie Pop podcast and listens to like 50 episodes before he realizes.
We should have given him a real one.
God damn it.
We should have given him a real podcast name.
Yeah.
Damn it. That would have been funny. Or the Adam Carolla show.
Yeah. Or CarCast. We sitting here and talk about cars for an hour and a half every single night.
Hey, you're on the program. Welcome to the program. Oh, who's this?
What's going down?
Who is this? Uh-oh. You know the rules, Fake Marcus. You're not allowed to be on the show, dude. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Now I feel sad.
Well, he doesn't have to be Fake Marcus. Just be yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a real person in there.
I think Fake Marcus is probably more insulting to Marcus.
Yeah, it could be.
Where has Marcus been? Has he left us?
For those of you who might not know, Marcus, we just talked about him last week on last week's show. I have quick correction and retraction last week. The Baldwin, my co-host over there at the Film Vault. Good episode this week, by the way. We did a look at Sundance. So we pretty much
How did you have access to that
big
stuff?
Net. Well, anyone can look up, you know, the program.
But can you actually see the films and stuff?
No, they got a lot of trailers and this and that, but I don't watch trailers. So it's just I read about them and, you know, I figure out we kind of try and pick and choose, like, what's going to be good.
How come you don't watch trailers?
Because it ruins too many things for me. And it doesn't, like, ruin or spoil movies in the sense of, like, oh, no, now I know what's happening with the plot point. Well, it does do that a lot, but it, like, there's this movie called The Rover, right, which I was turned on to recently.
Yes.
And it's post-apocalyptic, exceptionally depression. Not my kind of movie. But I enjoyed it. It was well made. Australian post-apocalyptic film takes place 10 years in the future. Streaming on Fuckflix. Actually, I reviewed it on the Film Vault, and it didn't even talk about Robert Pattinson's performance in it, which was probably iconic because Brian kept interrupting me. But I've never seen anything with Robert Pattinson.
Never saw Twilight.
Never saw Twilight. But I'm aware of him. You know, he's like such a huge star, but I've never actually experienced him on the screen. I've seen commercials and stuff, but I've never saw him in the Twilights. And he played like a really dumb American redneck lowlife.
And he was good?
Yeah, like the way he walked. He wasn't great. He wasn't like, oh my God, you're amazing. But he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Well, he's a professional actor. He should be good.
It's true.
My friend manages him.
His walk. He got his walk down. He had these really horrible teeth. And yeah, I liked him. If I had never heard of him, I'd be like, hey, who's that kid? He's pretty good.
He's pretty hot.
Guy Pearce, he wasn't hot at all in this movie. He went the other way. Yeah.
I think women might see it differently, though.
No, they wouldn't.
They're sympathetic. They're sympathetic.
Believe me, he is not hot in this film.
He's a fixer-upper.
Guy Pearce is in it. Bad haircut. But the most beautiful, I don't think I'm ruining it by saying it right now, but the most beautiful thing in the whole movie, and there's not much beauty in this thing, but there's a car wreck, like a really horrific car wreck. And Guy Pearce is sitting inside this quiet, lonely house with this big bay window behind him, and you see the car, like, you're in the car with the characters as, like, they're spinning out of control, really hectic and crazy, cuts to, like, silence, and the car goes flying back real speed at behind Guy Pearce, and you can see it in the bay window, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I guess that was in the trailer, and if I saw it in the trailer already, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what's funny about trailers is I've been watching a lot of 70s trailers to prepare for the show with Dr. Drew.
Yeah, you should plug that, because this is going to air next week.
I did sort of plug it when you were walking out there to look for Reggie, but the... It's infuriating. They're 3 minutes long, way, way too long. And not only do they tell the entire story, but they set it up in a way that's not even realistic. Like even Jaws, even the Jaws trailer just insinuates sharks are the devil. Have you seen it?
There's a lot of devil stuff back then. A lot of devil stuff, a lot of cult stuff.
It lives to kill. It'll kill anything. It's as if the devil himself created a monster, Jaws, coming this summer. And then it just cuts to happy clips.
It's just a dumb angle to go after, you know what I mean?
Like, most of those trailers
fish
did
are
that, though.
Real things, and like Jaws and the fear of
it
being
lives
eaten by a shark.
To kill. Every animal lives to kill.
It's kind of true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ants. I mean, oh, yeah. Worms. Earthworms. No.
Yeah,
so
they don't kill much. Do they?
No, they don't kill anything. I don't think they kill anything.
It's a slow attack.
I guess they lure fish to be killed.
Yeah, they don't do it intentionally, though,
like
and they don't
they
do it
put on the
under
stand,
their own free will.
They could probably be charged for conspiracy.
They'd be set on the stand, and they would probably fall off the stand.
So I got to apologize to Brian Bishop for suggesting that, because remember he was complaining about my friend's message, and he sent me a text.
Yes.
He listens to the show. Yeah. Brian does. And I suggested that Brian said that he hates character actors, when what I meant was he hates voice actors. Brian hates voice
Why?
Actors, not character actors. My mistake. So I guess
why does he hate voice
that's
actors?
Bad,
that's a great gig.
Bad news for you, TJ Miller, if you're hoping to become friends with Brian one day, because he hates you. Goddamn TJ Miller.
Tom Kenny.
Yep. Way to go, Brian. Tom Kenny's a good man.
The entire cast of Family Guy.
Mm-hmm. John Hamm, hate him.
Hate him.
Very hateable.
Hate him. Patton Oswalt hates him.
Mm-hmm. Donald Sterling.
Does he do voice characters?
Well, yeah, that's his, I don't know the guy's real name, but that's the, his name in, on Mad Men. He does voiceover.
The, some of the trailers for 70s movies, I almost...
Alec Baldwin, hate him.
I want to make you watch him.
Actually,
just so you can see it, but I don't think it would be a valuable way to spend your
time.
Are you
going to show it at your show?
Well, I might cut him up, but...
You look up the Warriors?
They literally... Well, the ones I looked up were some of the bigger movies, like Airport 75 and stuff, and they will literally go through systematically every character and tell you their character, what their character does in the movie, and who it's played by. And they'll go in, and also played by Academy Award winner so-and-so, he plays the frantic husband who's also having an affair with the stewardess.
But these movies were good, but the trailers were terrible.
The trailers are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're ridiculous. Like, you watch the trailer for Convoy. It's 3 minutes long, and it's mostly just shots of trucks with the song Convoy playing in the background, which I like. I liked it. I was like, yeah. But realistically, if you're sitting at home watching television and that baby comes on, it tells you the whole story.
Eras.
Every wreck.
For movies.
Every car jump, every wreck, every fight. Okay, I'm not going to say the word. But I'll tell you this much.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the trailer for
Flies
Shaft.
Free? Flies Free.
For Shaft.
Uh-huh. Black dude saying it then, huh?
It's all fist fights,
uh-huh.
Shooting people with guns,
right.
Threatening people.
Won't look her.
It opens up with Shaft crossing the street in New York, and the taxi driver slams on his brakes, and Shaft turns at him and flips him off and yells, fuck you. That's in the trailer. Now, obviously, they must have beat that for the television version. That's in the trailer. There's a point where Shaft's sitting in a restaurant having a beer.
Uh-huh.
A guy walks in and goes, I'm looking for that N-word Shaft. And Shaft goes, you found him, WAP. That's in the trailer.
Yeah. It's friendly.
It's unbelievable.
It's endearing.
It's unbelievable. And every other scene is Shaft beating the shit out of somebody or mowing someone down with a machine gun.
I never really saw that movie or enjoyed it. I'm going to be honest. Does that make me racist? Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Yes.
Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? Good. I'm gonna, you know what? I wanted to do calls. We got the one guy. Hey, how are you? Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for being our rock at the live show,
yeah.
The Christmas show.
Appreciate
that. We both appreciate that. So did you go over? Did you go to the after party at the at that show?
Where was that?
How many people had sex? Really.
I think I know someone else who got lucky too.
I don't think you should say who with. No, don't do that. No, let's not. Yeah, because somebody might know. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Scott's going to do a logo for her.
Scott, very impressive graphic artist. Who I still and I've tried, Scott. If you're listening to this. I've brought it up. It's just very hectic, especially right now. But Drew, you're in Drew's crossfire. He wants to hire you to be his website guy for sure. All right? Okay?
Is crossfire or is crosshairs?
Crosshairs. Crossfire would be just as good, though, because he's going to hit you either way. All right? Speaking of which.
I would pay Scott to be my website guy, too, but I don't want one of those Squarespace-style websites that just scrolls up like it's a blog.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I was reading some girl's blog today. And she does like a sex blog, sort of. It's kind of like a single chick blog. And she was talking about herself masturbating, but she called it jilling off. Have you heard of that?
No, I don't like it.
I don't like
it
either.
Too close
it's
to
too
my
clever.
Wife's name.
Yeah, you got a good point.
Is she Jill?
It's like Jack and Jill. Like jacking off, jilling off.
Is this girl's name Jill?
No. I don't know what her name is. Basically, the blog that I read was something somebody reposted on Facebook, and it was her talking about how there's that time of the month for girls, and then there's that time of the month. One is the period, and one is the time of the month where your hormones are raging, and you're super horny, and she went out looking for a one-night stand. Met a guy, last guy in the bar, nice guy, shy guy, invited him back to her apartment, got along great, had a couple of drinks, ended up having safe sex. He split, forgot his phone. She opened it up to find his address or something to return the phone, and found his last batch of texts, which was with a prostitute negotiating price and what she'll do. So he was out looking for a hooker.
That sounds too good to be true.
It doesn't really sound that good.
Not good in the sense that it's compelling. You know what I mean? This is a bad Sundance.
I'm choosing to believe it,
film.
But it was just a weird the point of her blog on this particular one, the only one I've read, was her explaining. At first, she was kind of horrified, and then secondarily, she realized that's what I was doing. Right. I was looking for sex. He's a lonely guy, and he was clearly shy. Mm-hmm. And I approached him.
Why are you reading?
It was posted on Facebook, and the person who posted it's a friend. They said it was an interesting read, and it was mediocrely interesting.
Mediocrely.
But I wanted to see what some. I'm kind of curious what people do in their blogs and stuff.
It's nice, Mike. It's nice of you.
Kind of.
Let's talk. Let's go back before we get away from movies. Let's talk about movies real quick.
Yeah, and let's talk about movies the whole time if you want.
No, but like, I was kind of hard on American Sniper, and have you seen it?
Yes.
I still stand by what I said about how the Iraqi people were a jokes, and it was a cartoony, especially the main sniper guy.
Yeah.
But Bradley Cooper, like, you can almost forgive the whole thing because he was so good.
He was great.
He really sucked you in. And now that it's finally like released big and it's up for an Academy Award and he's up and now it's getting a lot of love. And
financial love. It's getting a lot of hatred from people who actually like good movies, though.
But
I don't like – I'm tired of people going online and talking about how much they hate certain movies.
Yeah, I stop it. Yeah, I agree with you. And I don't do that on the Film Vault, and a lot of people accuse me of doing that. I try and find movies that are great that I love. It's so easy to talk badly about someone's movie.
Yeah.
And they spent like these are like hundreds of people spent hundreds of thousands of hours and money
and
on
did
a,
their
a lot
best.
Of time a passion project.
And frankly,
who the fuck am I to talk to?
If everyone is a genius and everyone works as hard as they've ever worked on any project, there's still things that can fuck the entire movie up. An editor, the studio, a bunch of fucking suits that want to get their hands in it. There's so many reasons. However, Clint Eastwood's movies, he's definitely to blame if they're not great because of how he is and how he shoots. Real quick,
and
he just wants to jump right into it as fast as possible. And I do think he's a good director, a very good director, and I really like Clint Eastwood. But realistically, that's a guy whose entire career is based on playing a character that just randomly took the law into his own hands and blew people away.
I know, that's exactly where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Hey, is that you, Tyler? Tyler's ruining the show and he's not fucking here. Is that you? I apologize.
Why would he do that if that were him?
I apologize for this because I know this is hard for Tyler. Wants the hotline. I give him the hotline. He says it's an ad agency. So I'm like, just call the regular 800 number, which obviously works because I'm calling my cell phone right now. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, no.
Hi, Tyler. Hi, Crystal?
Whoa.
How's it spelled?
With a K?
A-L.
C-R-Y-S-T-A-L?
Yes.
What's your middle name? Because I want to see if it's ball. Okay. Crystal Monique.
Rolls off the tongue.
Okay.
Let me take a wild guess. Not white.
Why is the baby up?
She took a late nap.
I based my guess on the baby in the background, by the way, not your name.
That's nice and racist, Mike. That's good.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's absolutely racist.
It's proving that I'm in touch with society.
Oh, Arabic.
Wow.
Mike would have never guessed any of that.
I don't think we've ever said any racist things about your people.
We need to start. So who are you calling for tonight?
Until Chris? Now.
Yeah, this is not our people. This is not our people.
Crystal, we'd like to keep you on the line and answer your question.
It's true.
But this is not Loveline.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Hate squiggle.
But we'll answer your question. Lay it on us.
Okay.
She'd rather say it to hundreds of thousands of people than just the two of us.
We're in the Loveline studio, if that helps.
We're
in the studio.
Oh.
No, it's not embarrassing.
Our guest was actually the Loveline security guard. He actually guards Dr. Drew.
Yep.
on a nightly basis.
And he'll guard your secret.
Mike just lost interest.
A little while. And we have two kids together. And lately, well, we just had a newborn. And lately, like, it's, you know, been hard to have some alone time. And so he's been watching Cornwall and there's a room that he'll be in the bathroom. And it really, really bothers me. And I'm not sure if I'm overreacting or
I think that's rude of him to do it while you're there. How about this? You get like a giant picture of some actor you kind of like.
Yeah.
And tape it on the wall and then just openly sit in front of it and masturbate when he's walking by.
You need to do that, yeah. Tit for tat.
I'm glad your relationship has a healthy foundation.
You need to name that vibrator. Who's your favorite actor? So it's Franco,
yeah.
Or James.
Write it on there with a Sharpie.
Yeah.
But first Google whether Sharpie ink will poison your vagina.
Poison your innards. Yeah. Maybe they should, though, because you already have two kids. So maybe it's enough. Enough of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want any.
So, yeah, name it Franco and write it on there in Sharpie.
Has he tried to get hand jobs from you instead of looking at porn? Maybe he's got a lot of tension that he needs release from.
Yeah, well, there's so, too many layers to this call because you guys are boyfriend, girlfriend, popping out kids over there,
yeah.
And up late night with the kid, and he's beating off in the bathroom. Can you hear the porn? Is it like echoing off the bad acoustics in the bathroom? How do you know he's beating off in there then? Oh, we're snooping. Yeah, you guys, Crystal, you guys got all sorts of issues, right?
Yeah, the looking in the phone thing's got to really stop.
And you should add some gay porn sites into his phone so that when he opens it up.
You know what? That's a great idea.
It's fun, right?
And then maybe, if you're really vengeful, threaten the president.
What? Don't do that.
With his phone.
Don't. Oh, with his phone.
Hey, you know what you can do? If you ever need to hold something, if you ever want to throw something against him, tell him you were going to call Loveline and tell them about this issue that's bothering you. And instead, you got two other guys, and you told them
all about it, and that's why you named your vibrator the After Disaster.
Yes.
All right, Crystal.
Wait, what town are you in?
What town are you in there, Crystal? Where are you calling from, Crystal?
I'm calling from San
Francisco. Well, next Saturday you should get a babysitter and drive down and come see Dr. Drew and I at the Improv.
Not going to happen.
I wish.
All right. Thanks for calling, Chris.
You know what? You can adopt those kids out, and then you have a lot of free time.
She could sell them. Hey, is that you, Ty Ty? Oh, Christ.
Is that him?
After all that, that better not be Tyler. What the fuck's wrong with you?
After all
why
that,
did you, why did you need the hotline? You fuck. Why do you need it, though? The lines, there's like six lines, and only three are taken up. Just call us. Because we're in the parking lot talking.
We were skateboarding.
Shit. We were skateboarding without you, and it was enjoyable.
Something was missing.
You were skateboarding 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, actually, kind of.
I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't start the show till 25 past. Boring. Who cares? We're about to have a good conversation. We're waiting right now for the terrible guard to bring in the other awful guard, but it's not happening.
Tyler, Anderson brought in the security guy and kind of put him on the spot a little bit.
He got uncomfortable. It was fun.
It was uncomfortable. He brought up, are you going to get in trouble for being in here? And he said, I don't care.
Reggie can't do nothing to me.
Reggie can't do nothing. He just writes me up.
And then I asked him about the bathroom shenanigans, and he got very uncomfortable.
Backed out of that one.
Yeah. And he said, I was using the restroom. It's like, no, you were doing something else. But I didn't push him. So we were about to talk about American Sniper here. You're just in time there, Ty Ty, for riveting talk about American Sniper. So I am hard on that. It's not a great movie.
It's not a great movie.
It should not.
But you're correct. Bradley Cooper was so good.
He was so good.
That it made it good.
Yes. And I can almost forgive someone I've said it
that actress times. Is incredibly beautiful. I would marry her on the spot.
She's ungood in this movie.
But she's not good in that movie, and they have no chemistry.
Right. Agreed. So What I'm saying, though, like I heard a radio ad for it today. It's getting a lot of play. You know, it's a hot button. That and goddamn Boyhood coming out of the woodwork. And I hate. What's hot? What's going on? It's hot.
This whole town is that. This whole town is that.
But is it hot? Is it sexy? Only, is it hot?
Hey, you know what? The Improv's a good example of that. We can have an amazing, magical, wonderful show, and there's 50, 60 people in there, and then we'll have whatever the trendy show is, and it's sold out.
People.
That's LA. It's LA. Yes.
Yeah, but that's the audience. So you can't blame that on the Improv.
It's the town. Yeah. I'm not blaming the Improv one bit.
What's hot? You want to go there? Why is it hot?
We've had nights at the club that was Margaret Cho, Dane Cook, Dave Attell.
That's not hot.
Jeffrey Ross, all a bunch of people that would sell out in any other club, and there's 40 people in there, and then the next night is a themed show.
Are they trending, though? Are they trending?
That's what I mean. The next night is a themed show, which is complete bullshit, and it's sold out. And so,
what's the theme?
It's like one of these. I don't want to mention the shows specifically, but there's promoter shows.
I was.
You bastard. You bastard!
So, though, you're going to be debating to an extent with Drew. A little bit. I know you're shying away from that, but you'll be able to beat him at a debate about the 70s, if they're good or bad, if you stick with movies. Because he can't. He hasn't seen a lot.
But he agrees movies in the 70s are very good.
Well,
I'm going to beat him in any debate about the 70s because I live in a magical, mystical fantasy world where I think things are how I think they should be, which is like in Boogie Nights. And they're not that way, but that's how I view it.
You can remember it. You can remember it however you want to remember. But, so, I'm driving into work tonight, and, I hear a spot for American Sniper, you know, and it goes through the whole thing, and it's very misleading. It has him crying at the end, going, I'm ready to go.
The new commercials are misleading.
Very misleading. But, it got me thinking about the whole movie, the construct of it, and the fact that Clint Eastwood directed it, and the era that he came from. Yes, the 70s with the Sergio Leone movies.
Yes,
and,
yes.
But also huge in the 80s, and just how different the 80s movies were from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking about American Sniper, if it was done. I know that it was a story that
in the 70s?
After. No, if it was done in the 80s. Imagine that movie. Imagine American. Here's the pitch. It's a real life story about the real life American soldier has the most kills. He's a sniper. Most kills of any sniper in the history.
It would have been so polished, and the music would have been so inappropriate.
Oh yeah, come on in. Oh, Reg, I was pointing at you. Come on in. We got Reg.
Hey, Reggie.
Where's Anthony? Oh, he's gone. Oh, what a pussy.
My biggest problem with that movie was it didn't let you settle into the transitions. Like he just decides one day he sees the Twin Towers come down on television, and then he's at the recruiting office. Then he's in Green Beret training.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's way more to it than that.
There's more training.
And it's a dude squirting with a hose. Next thing you know, he's a Green Beret. And I also didn't like that he could take liberties. Were you aware of the fact that you can make phone calls from the battlefield while you're shooting people?
I think that must have happened, though.
Of course it
must
have happened, because people would have been outraged. Like, that's ridiculous. The other thing is,
but why? What do you mean liberties? What do you mean liberties?
That's what I mean. Like, oh, I'm going to call my girlfriend right now while I'm on a rooftop.
Oh, you don't like the idea of that? Well, he's not just anybody. He's like the top of the – everyone loved him. He was like a hero.
The military is very, very – regimented.
It's like football. Like, I bet Tom Brady, if he wanted to, he could call his wife.
He's like, I'm
the
center now.
On the sideline, he could call the wife. But I don't think they're going to let the lineman call his wife.
You might be right. Okay, but let's just say this. The military is very, very regimented. So he's
you like that, Reg?
Ordered to be on the rooftop.
It's good.
And shooting people.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, why was the other guy up there?
Because that's his backup. His backup.
So he's up there.
And you have to show like the difference between him, who's serious and down
business.
He's
constantly looking through his scope.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he decides he can get more taken care of on the ground. And he just takes over that little command troop.
Yeah.
He just goes down there and goes, let's go in here. And he just takes over.
Like, because he's been there so many times. It's like his life.
But they don't
it's
let like you just nature. Change jobs.
Yeah. He could kind of call a shot.
I don't know if people had that much power.
I didn't try and say call his shots, but I'm just – my whole thing was like imagine that in
he
the
calls
80s.
His shot
imagine
like he's an
how
athlete.
Different it would be in the 80s. It would just be like
guy
montages.
On the corner in the head and bam.
Like
kid in the left kneecap.
Like
bam. Like it's 70s billiards and he's Fats. Minnesota Fats.
What? They're very different. Uh-huh. Right. Outrageous.
Well, like did he argued with Jesse Ventura and knocked him out? And like, Jesse Ventura sued him for $2 million and won for defamation of character.
Which is, like, impossible to prove in court. And the jury and the judge found in Jesse Ventura's favor.
And you know what? And I don't want to badmouth an American hero. I really don't, because I really like the military. I'm being very, very blunt about you. I feel the opposite way about
Reggie,
cops.
You like the military? You feel good
but
about the
But I really have, like...
Throw on the headphones, because Tyler's on the phone.
I don't like to even use the word respect, because it's just complete crazy admiration that I can't even relate to for people that fight in the military. And my biggest issue with that dude comes from people that are friends of mine who have personal experiences that worked with him on some projects, and they said he was the biggest douchebag they've ever come across.
Are you talking about the dead hero?
I'm talking about someone who I'll tell you about later. Who
oh,
you
you're
know.
Not, you're not talking about American Sniper, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, I know someone who worked with him on a project, on a Hollywood project, and they said that guy was the biggest
fucking
douchebag
I
ever met in my life.
Okay.
And this person knows a lot of douchebags.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He also claimed
that they shot some clouds. That's not even legal.
Oh, and he claimed that in his book? I need to read this book. It sounds more exciting than the movie. They should have put that in the book. I mean, the movie.
That guy thinks he can just snipe anywhere he goes.
Watch this. I'll take care of it. Uh-huh. Maybe there's
I wish those people would quit talking to the movie. Next thing you know, he's in the projector booth.
I'll take care of it. All right. Tyler, enough American Sniper. I feel like we're going down dark roads there with American heroes. Don't have a lot of those. I don't know if we should defamate them. Oh, Ty.
We could make Iraqi Sniper.
So, Reggie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Anderson.
Yes. Tyler was on the phone. I assume you can hear him.
Tyler, are you there? Hey, Tyler. How's it going?
And then you remember Mike Carano, this character over here? Yes.
Hi, Reggie. Hey, what happened to those two guys that were killing people in the car in Washington? They were snipers.
Blue Caprice. They were. There's a movie called Blue Caprice, which was at Sundance, I think, last year, the year before, and it didn't do so hot, and I've never seen it. But that's all.
They should have called it African American Sniper.
How do you feel about that, Reggie? That's pretty offensive, isn't it?
It is.
That wasn't offensive?
It's offensive, yeah. Because one's a
How
hero.
Is that offensive?
One's a hero, when the other two are villains. Terrible villains.
Still snipers.
All right, Reggie. This, as you may or may not know, is Loveline's last night in here.
Yes, I do.
There's a good chance that we'll be back. We'll probably still be around. Yeah, I'm still going to have an office here. I'm still going to be doing production here. You're still going to see our mugs around here, all right? So don't be sad.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question.
Uh-oh.
What made Loveline leave this facility?
Security. They didn't feel secure.
No, really.
Really?
You almost had me going. You almost had me. For a minute, you
They didn't feel secure. They like the fortress over there. They got fences and gates. You got, like, key cards. There's another show moving into this studio, and they got to do construction, and they're going to move it. The biggest syndicated radio program, night program, or afternoon program in the world, Reggie, you're going to be in charge of guard.
What is that show?
Zach Sang and the Gang.
That's the biggest syndicated show in the world?
It will be, yes.
I've never even heard of it.
Maybe. Wow. It's new. It's new to syndication. Cumulus is blowing
and
it up.
It's the biggest?
It's going to be the biggest afternoon. I think there's one show or two morning shows that are bigger as far
wow.
as number, as far as
say the name
affiliates.
Again. I didn't hear quite
Zach
hear you.
Zach Sang and the Gang, and it's a top 40 music countdown show.
Oh, that's fucking
And horrible. They do a lot of work in here, and I'm friendly with all of them.
Okay.
And I give Zach a lot of shit for stealing my studio.
Okay.
I mean, it's like the young crew, you know what I mean? The kid's like 22 or something. So he's coming up, and
I'm
like the old crusty radio guy, you know?
Kind of jealous.
He's such a student of radio. Like, he was so pumped to meet me because, like, I'm a name to him. You know what I mean? He's like one of those guys. And when he met Drew, I think that he may have urinated.
Like a scared dog.
No. I don't think he does. But I do hear
him
yelling.
Does he know that I'll be at the Improv with Dr. Drew on January 31st?
He's never plugged anything so much, Tyler.
Some desperate.
Zach Sang does yell at his people in the halls quite a bit, and I've given him shit about that a couple times. Like, you really scream. He's like, oh,
Well, I hope he doesn't.
I don't like it. Just today, he was screaming and yelling at this guy, like really, like scream, like down on him. All right.
I hope he doesn't sexually assault people like that guy Pioline did.
He's not going to sexually assault people. What the fuck?
Well, it starts with screaming.
Pioline. All right, Reginald. Real quick. I talked to Anthony.
All right.
I spoke with a colleague over there.
Right, okay.
Who just got off. I was hoping to have both of you sitting in here so I could get to the bottom of this. All right.
I wish Tyler was here to play some music.
A couple days ago, you told me that he said that I feel like a girl in high school, said that you are always on the couch.
Liked Zach.
Right.
Right. So I invited him on the program, and I asked him point blank if that was the case. He said no. Mm-hmm. Well, why would you say that if he didn't say that? Or did he say that?
I'm not even involved in this conversation, and I can't make eye contact with anybody.
Why, Reginald? Stop it, Tyler. Why would he say that? Or why would you say that? And did you have you said anything to him since? Because remember, what was my reaction when you told me that he said that? I said that.
You went off. You were very upset. I was like, you never said anything to me about him. You know, I could have tried to take steps to get you another security guard if I knew you were so unhappy with him.
Well, here is my fear. All right. Have you ever heard of a... there's a movie came out earlier this year with Seth Rogen and...
The Columnist?
Nope.
I mean, the what the fuck was that movie?
No, not The Interview. The one where he... It was a comedy. Maybe it was last year. No, it was... God, I'm bad at movies. No, was Zach, the kid that always looks surprised. God damn, this is a long road to get to nowhere. The one about they live next door to a frat house.
Yeah. What's Neighbors.
Neighbors. Is that all it's called? No wonder I forgot the name of it. Neighbors.
It was, that was Neighbors. A good movie.
Neighbors. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Neighbors?
I've heard of the movie, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen the promotion.
You saw the promotions? All right, this is in the promotion, actually. You might remember this. They're very upset that this young couple that has a baby that's crying and because the frat boys next door are so loud, right? So what do? They call the police. Recall that? To tell on them. That's what they did. And a policeman came up, and he immediately went to the frat house and then pointed to their house and said, they called. I'm afraid that that's what happened with you, and you went to him and said, Anderson says you don't want – that you're terrible at your job, and he doesn't want you here anymore. Did you say that to him?
No. I didn't speak to him at all.
You didn't speak to him at all?
No.
Because he's been acting like he thought that maybe I said some things.
I'm not quite following you.
All right. What I'm saying is one of the reasons I didn't tell you that he was bad because I was terrified.
No, be more vague.
I was
is
terrified.
Your middle name Fredo?
I thought the way you deal with it is you go up to Anthony and say, hey, Anderson says you're a terrible guard. And then he would know that. Okay. That's what I was afraid of. That's okay. Why I never told you.
All right. So you know that he's a terrible guard. I mean, you're the boss of him.
I'm not the boss of him. I'm not the boss of anybody, Reggie.
But you are his supervisor. And we look at you as his supervisor. So you say that he does a bad job. He does a bad job. I write him up, and there's nothing he can do.
All right.
What's he got to do?
That's kind of what he said about you.
No. No. No.
That's the way it works.
All right. Okay. All right.
And he's not going to say anything to you about that.
No, no. He's an all right guy. You know what? I had my first conversation with him tonight, and he's an all right guy. I feel a little bit bad now because, you know, it can be a tough job at times. You know, you guys got to be, like, watching that door, and, you know, it gets cold out there, and there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, TVs that you could be watching. But
Skateboarders
circling you, literally. Cigarettes, yeah. You still hating the cigarettes there, Reggie? Or have you come around on those? You give, no. Give him a shot yet?
I still hate the cigarettes.
You still hate them?
No, but... I'd have what he said about you in writing.
Oh, you do? Well, he said the same thing that he about it's in writing. Whatever. Making this worse than it needs to be. I decided I'd like to get to the bottom of it. I like some clean air before we vacate. I was hoping we could leave here with crystal clear waters, you know what I mean?
And he said he never said anything about you?
No. He said that I wasn't implicated, but everyone else said that you said that.
What he's getting to is group hug.
He said... And then he said something to the effect that I told you not to sit on the couch once because it was dirty. And I don't.
Yeah.
Cool. What? I don't recall saying that.
And that's what he wrote up, too.
That's what he wrote in the book back there, the All Work and No Play Makes Jack a Dull Boy book. My name's in there.
No, he wrote it up on some on a report.
Okay.
That you had said something to me.
Did he call me by name?
Yes.
Was it Boss Man or Anderson?
Mr. Anderson.
Oh, did he write that? Because he calls me Boss Man usually.
Oh, I see.
All right. Are you excited that we're leaving? Does this make you happy?
No.
Yeah. Well, you'll still see us around, so.
All right.
Thanks, Reg. I'm sorry if I've been difficult over the years. I really am.
Okay.
All right. He doesn't let me off the hook.
I accept your apology.
Wow. Reggie's in a good mood. You never know with Reggie. About us, yeah. What do you think of Asafa?
I think Asafa is a really good security guy.
Yes, he is. He's solid. If only everyone could be like Asafa. You ever talk to Asafa? You ever get down to the brass tacks of that man and like, figure out like where he came from and what his family's like? He's one of 8 brothers.
Is there like a security guard bar? Like there was a cop bar?
Oh. No, he's never shared any of that with me.
No. He's a good man. He gives me pizza. He like forces it on me. I'm like, Asafa, I really don't want pizza. He's like, no, it's yours. He just leaves the room.
Maybe he's slowly poisoning you.
No.
Someone does.
What? Yes, people have motorcycles.
Yeah.
Reggie, you should get a motorcycle. Reggie's out and doesn't have a car right now.
I don't think so.
And I'm telling him he should just get like a beater or something to get him to work so he doesn't have like to take the subway. And Reggie needs a pristine, brand new car. Right, Reg?
But if you stop and think about it.
Uh-huh. I've never had a new car. I buy them used.
Yeah, but you buy a good used car. Eh. I mean, you ride around in Lexus.
It was from New Orleans.
It's a good car.
And it was Katrina. It was drowned in Katrina, and I got it like really cheap. Yes.
Yeah, but if you stop and think about it, if you don't have a lot of money and you're getting a used car, it turns into a money.
Mike Carano could have sold you his car. You should have done that.
I didn't know you were in the market for a car.
You didn't know Reggie was in the market for a car when you saw him walking to work every night?
I didn't know.
He got in your car. You drove him here one night. You recall that?
Is that true?
Yes.
Yes, that's true, Mike.
Pretty nice of me.
That was pretty nice
it
of
was.
Me. I
And not only did you pick me up, you said, hey, Reggie.
I offered so that said, car.
You want a ride? And I'm looking around because it's dark. Like, you want a ride? And finally,
I should have taken off down Venice.
You rolled down the window and said, Reggie, it's me, Mike. I said, oh, okay. Because I couldn't
tell. Oh, you thought it was just some random dude trying to pick you up. Right? What are your neighbors like, Reggie? You get along with them? Or do you get any friction with the neighbors? Like, do you hate the woman that lives downstairs? Anything like that?
Oh, no, just... I don't hate any. The guy who just moved in is really bad.
Yeah? Yeah.
Bad in what way?
Does he live above you?
No, he lives beside me.
Because we always hate our neighbors.
What's he do? Does he smoke?
Oh, he's.
Reggie just looked for you where you normally are, Tyler. what makes him bad?
Oh, he's an alcoholic, I guess.
Uh huh.
And he just yells out all night long.
Oh, that's more than alcohol.
Is he's alone and he yells out?
Yeah.
What's he yelling?
Maybe he's talking in his sleep.
Well, he's like, if there's a song on, he'll be like singing the lyrics.
Oh, he's singing.
It's really loud and it's not. It's really not singing. And
how happy would you be though if you heard one night, if you just heard him saying, dropping out of school, just saying cool. Would you be pumped? You'd be like, oh, he's singing my song.
I love this guy now.
Have you had a talk with them yet?
No, I don't. You don't talk with people like that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What's his deal? What's he look like?
Here's how you do it, Reggie. You knock on his door.
What's he look like?
Uh-huh. And when he answers, you say, I got a question for you. Are you bulletproof? You start there. Start off on the right foot.
What's he look like?
He's an older guy.
Uh-huh. Like how old? Like 60s?
Yeah.
Maybe
near 70.
What kind of music is it that he's singing to?
Oh, the music's good. I have to give him credit. He's got good taste.
He's got good taste? You recognize the song?
Al Green, Temptations.
Have you tried reverse psychology? Like, knocking on the door and saying, can you turn it up a little bit? I like this song.
Have you sung back?
No.
You should. What would you sing back if you could?
I wouldn't sing back to him.
Why not? You got to be assertive, Reggie. Stick up for yourself.
Mm. You know what I mean? Well, he's disturbing the whole floor. So.
So you're just hoping somebody else takes care of it pretty soon? Yeah?
Yeah, something like that.
All right. That's our tight hour there. We're just about an hour in.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Well, Reg, we'll miss you. Like I said, it's not a farewell necessarily because I'll still be poking around, and I'm sure this guy will still come by. I don't think Tyler's allowed in the building anymore, so don't let him in the building. Once you see, that's why he's on the phone. He's already been removed. Yeah.
What happened? He's not here?
No, he's not. See, it's dark in there. He's on the phone. He has to do the show from his house now.
You know what? That really does add a sad element to this last show in the studio that the other room is dark.
It's fitting, I think. Don't let him in. Yeah, don't let him. No, I'm kidding. He has to be up early, so he couldn't come in tonight. But yeah, you'll still see us hanging around, and they're about to do a bunch of construction in this this room here. So
why is that? I mean, like, why are you guys gonna, hanging around? You just don't want to go? Or is that?
No, I still, because I'm not going to have an office over at K-Rock. I'm going to do my production, and I'm going to have an office over here because I still work for this company, but the show is moving to a different company's property. It's very confusing, Reggie, but we're still part of this company.
All right.
I still get paid by this company.
Okay.
I know you're probably worried, Reggie, about how we're going to take phone calls. We don't have an answer.
Hey, you're on the After Disaster. You're talking with Mike Carano.
Tyler White.
Anderson Cowan and Reginald
Watts.
Moses trivia for Reggie. Okay.
What?
His father-in-law's name. Moses' father-in-law's name.
What was Moses' father-in-law's name?
You're on the clock, Reggie.
Why are you asking me about...
Yeah, you're on.
Yes.
Why am I being asked about Moses?
Because you're a Moses
lover.
You're
the local Moses expert.
Because I took a photograph of Moses.
Yeah, you like... And remember how you reacted when I said, I don't care about Moses? You got very upset with me. Like, you stopped in your tracks. Like, how could you have said that aloud? Yeah.
I didn't even know Moses had a wife. Did he have two of them?
Because
wouldn't you, if you were Moses, bring two chicks on the boat in case something happens to one?
That's Noah.
Oh, whoops. Moses.
Yeah.
Moses parted the Red Sea.
Is it in God's in Exodus and terrible, that movie? Yeah, I know this voice. I know this guy.
Do you know his father-in-law's name?
No.
You're asking the question.
No, that's Tyler.
Oh.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds like Tyler.
I'm going to guess Joseph because it's the Bible.
Steve?
Jebediah?
You're saying you think?
Jeremoosh? You know? What?
Yeah.
Jethro? That was giving my next guess. Jethro.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a Jethro in the Bible.
Wait, what is tall? What does tall mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I was on the right J-track. Hey, who is this? What's your name, caller? Dave? Have you called the program before? Hey.
Do you have another Bible question? This is fun.
Yeah. What did he do to what the Israelites? To tempt them? Uh-huh.
Wait, was this to test his faith? Was this when God told him to kill his first son, and right before he did it, God went, I was just testing your faith?
No, that wasn't Moses.
That was Abraham.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, it was Abraham Lincoln?
It was not Abraham Lincoln. Was the bush on fire while he was trying to appease the Israelites? You have to wear a veil.
Everything is a euphemism.
How is wearing a veil?
The burning bush, herpes, parting the Red Sea.
Herpes? Where did herpes come from?
Sex on your period.
And he had to wear a veil because his face was, I think, so bright that...
The Ten Commandments.
He couldn't look at it.
What is
big
some...
penis.
Wait, oh, because his face was...
The 10-inch commandments.
Because his face was so bright that he would have burned the eyes out of the Israelites. So like he had to shield their faces with the shroud. Is that what you're saying?
Was Shazam in the Bible?
Like Shaq?
Shazam.
Like the genie?
No, like the almighty Shazam.
Yeah.
The Saturday morning cartoon where he drives around with his mentor in the Winnebago, and then whenever crime breaks out, he becomes Shazam, which is basically Superman.
Right. I thought Shazam was a genie. Came out of a genie bottle. I wish I could turn you up, caller, but I can't because you're Dave. You have one more question, a Bible question. Tyler, how does it feel to be 0-2 when you're the Bible boy? You're tapped out.
Joni. What about the satanic Bible question?
Just get to the compliments, I guess. We'll just sit here.
Yeah, let's just get to the compliments.
We'll just take compliments. Nice. That just made Mike's week. It's good times.
I'm sorry. He
wants to hear it again. He would like to hear
I didn't hear what you said. You said Mike's videos and then...
3 minutes with Mike.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I don't know what that means.
Is that a backhanded compliment? Wait, was that a compliment?
No, that he wanted to hang out with you, but he was intimidated and scared. All right, Dave. Reggie's sitting here patiently waiting.
Thanks, man.
I'm sure I'd had its moments, as a quote from you, Reggie, about this program that we played. We used to play quite often. I said, hey, what do you think of the show? I think it was the worst show we've ever done. What do you think? And you said, I'm sure it had its moments.
Reggie, in your memory.
Thanks for calling, Dave.
Was there ever a night on this show where you just wondered what the heck was going on in here?
No, not at all. No. I knew two of you guys.
Hey, so do you remember machete night? Do you recall us with the machetes out in the parking lot? Do you remember that? We were throwing the machete, wielding it. We're throwing it at the tree, trying to get it to stick in the tree. Do you recall that? Do you remember that? We all three had machetes, and we were making them spark. We were sinbatting ourselves out there. Do you remember? You don't remember that? I wonder who was on that night. Who's the guard that night?
I don't remember seeing a guard out there.
We were literally
with you.
Throwing giant blades at one another.
And up in the air?
Up in the air, trying to catch
into
them.
The darkness?
No, we didn't have skateboards yet.
Chainsaw night?
Smoking. I think he's proven that. Reggie, how much money would I have to give you to light up a cigarette?
I don't think you give me enough.
No? All right, guys. I think this is the program. I think this is it.
It feels
sad.
Like we're ending the show, but we're not ending the show. This is just the location. It's like we're moving. We got a new school.
What? Your cats have UTIs?
Yeah, it's not tight.
How do cats get urinary tract?
I didn't even know they
could.
How did you find out they had that?
Oh, that's really sad. That's very sad. All right, I'm going to go in the other room and push the buttons.
Thanks for calling, Tyler.
Ty? All right, I almost hung up with you. Hold on.
Hey. Yeah.
Thank you, Reggie, for coming in.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks, Reg.
Thank you, Anderson.
Always, usually a pleasure. Sometimes you mean.
So what else is happening, Tyler? Are you serious?
Thank you.
Oh, my God, that's brutal. It's so brutal. It's so expensive. Seeing how much Miranda would spend every time Dahlia had to go to the emergency room for something. I know, but that's... I think when you get a cat, you anticipate it's going to be cost-free with the exception of food and cat litter. I wonder... I know there is a such thing, but I wonder if it's reasonable to get pet insurance. Like a mongoose? But I mean, one thing, once you get attached to your pet, you're willing to go into debt to save them. People get liver operations on their liver transplants on their cats, and that's $8,000. Are you going to put him down, or are you going to give him away and let someone else deal with it?
We could do a telephone.
You could
do a Franklin telephone, and then use the money to make a movie instead. Hey, you guys want to hear the news? Our what we should use as our new song?
Yeah.
Mike Carano, are you familiar with the River Bottom Nightmare Band?
No, I'm not. But let's hear it.
Ty. Tyler.
I'm up for changing the song.
Tyler. All right, here's the deal. I go into great length about it on the film vault, and I was forced to watch a movie. Brian had me watch a movie that actually Allison Rosen chose for me. Allison wants to do the show, by the way. If we ever have her on, yeah,
good.
Sweet girl, out of work girl, and she might be able to vent a little bit on our program. I don't know if she's not allowed to on other programs. So we're doing top five cute and cuddly creatures with her a couple weeks. Cute and cuddly characters in films, and one of hers was this movie called Otter Emmett's Jug Christmas Band.
Okay,
it's a mouthful.
Was it animated?
It's a Jim Henson production. It's Muppets.
Oh shit! I haven't seen it.
49 minutes. You can watch it on YouTube. And I begrudgingly watched it because Brian, I lost the bet, so I had to watch a movie. And he let her pick for me. And she picked that. And I only
went
with
it. Well, you were fortunate because
it
was only 49 minutes.
It was only 49 minutes, and I could find it on YouTube easily. But I wasn't happy with the fact that it was like 1977, I think, mm-hmm. and it's TV and it's fucking Muppets, right? So okay. I'm watching it.
Sounds
and it opens
good.
Up.
It all sounds good.
I talked about all this on the film vault, so I apologize if you listened to both because this is a repeat, but. We're going to play the whole song here. That's how we're going to end the show right now.
Alrighty.
We're going to enjoy the song. But it opens up with Emmett and his mom on a boat, and they're rowing down, and they're bitching about money. And actually, first she's singing some horrible song, and it's very like downtrodden, and it's not catchy. And then,
so far, this doesn't sound like a good new song to open our
show
with.
And then the song, and then the movie progresses, and then she's singing another song, and I forget how it goes, but it was catchy to the point where like I got up to get myself some more coffee, and I came back, and I was singing the song. Jillian and I watched it in bed on Sunday on the Roku. And then it culminates into a town talent contest, right, where a bunch of songs were sung. And there's some good ones. A couple of the Emmett's band, Emmett's the Otter, he made.
Who did the music?
I don't know. And his song sounds a lot like a Ween song. Like I really enjoyed that song, and I thought that was the most fantastic thing until the dark horse comes in, and there's these like greaser characters that are like they're led by a bear, and they have like a couple snakes in their gang, and they're all like greaser daddy o's, right? And they actually have a fish that's in their gang. It's like in the back of the truck in the water. It's fucking amazing. And like these guys, they keep making appearances throughout the movie, like where they're in town roughing people up, but they're not really, because it's tame, because it's the Muppets. But of course, you know, it looks like Emmett's going to win the money, and he's going to be able to, you know, buy his mom a nice Christmas gift, or maybe his mom's going to win because she had a great song in the talent contest as well. But then last minute, the River Bottom Nightmare Band gets their shot at the money, and here's how it goes. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We'll come to you next week from somewhere, God knows where, maybe a park. Enjoy, and you should look this up on YouTube as well because it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. The work that went into making this band look amazing. Watching a snake play guitar is one of the greatest things you'll ever do. Good night, everybody.
Here they are, the rock group known as The Nightmare.
We think what we want. We do anything that we wish. We got no respect for animal, birdie, or fish. The grass does not grow on the places where we stop and stand.
River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Which did not occur to me the first nine times I listened to that song.
But there are sounds in there?
They're guar. Especially that last bridge there. That kind sounded of. So much like, I don't know if guar exists, or at least sounds
if
the way they
do. If the River Bottom Band doesn't exist?
The River Bottom Nightmare Band doesn't exist. They might not, because that sounded so guar-esque.
Mm.
Huh, Ty-Ty? I know, right?
Yeah.
I can't understand that, Ty-Ty.
You sound awake. Good night.
Good night.